Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Kareem, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
A lot to look forward to in the next 2 hours. It is the Crows taking on the Saints at the Adelaide Oval, and we are jam-packed for the next hour and 45 minutes. Alan Richardson, the coach of the Saints, will join us. Erin Montagna, the wife of the superstar Joey Montagna, will join us. Mark Rusciutto from the Adelaide Oval. Some of your regular favourites, Brownie's book, My Son the Footballer. Judge Juddy is locked and loaded. This is a massive period of time coming your way, and I look around at some very satisfied-looking gentlemen. Mark Howard with you, Nathan Brown, Luke Darcy, Chris Judd. Great to see you all. Damien Barrett with a nice scarf on. Old Biggles has parked his plane at the front of Triple M and he's ready to go.
Well, that may be the case, Howie, but that haircut you're rocking with at the moment too looks as though you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself at the moment.
Well, it's been a pretty good week, so I feel pretty confident with myself at the moment, Darcy.
You're pretty happy, and Brownie's gone out, inspired by Juddy's Burberry jacket.
I will say I had this jacket, mate, before Juddy rocked last week.
No, mate, no you won't. Juddy's rolled up with one of the better jackets you've seen. And
$3,000 worth.
Let's be honest, his budget's probably a little more extensive than most people. That's your poor man's version that Brownie's rolled with there tonight. He's been inspired by Juddy. Hasn't quite gone to the Gazman or
Rivers.
It's a good jacket, though. Don't you worry about that. And I had it before Juddy.
No, you didn't.
And you're all very happy because the ratings came out during the week. And they were good. We were good. We were very, very good. We went up. And it's fair to say there's two differences from last Friday night last year. I mean, Gaz has gone. Obviously, Gaz is out in the wilderness at the moment. Jim, who's just been in here, didn't read the tea leaves either. And then you got Spud. Spud, who I'm not sure what Spud's going on about at the moment. And then you bring in Judd and Brown. And clearly, the ratings go through the roof.
Well, I must admit, I read during the week in the paper that it was a nice ratings period. Although one swallow, of course, as you know, doesn't make a summer, Nathan. But it must be said it was a pretty big swallow. That I read about an article about the ratings had gone well, led by Chris Judd. Darce, now, I thought you were the captain of this team, but it said led by Chris Judd.
So, hang on. What do you mean? He's gone rogue, has he, Juddy?
Well, I don't know if there was quotes from you. It was Scotty Gullen's little score in the Herald Sun. The Friday Huddle going well, led by Chris Judd.
Well, there's no iron team, I said to Scotty, but there's five eyes in individual brilliance, and that's clearly what I brought to these Friday nights, and I take full responsibility.
Is this a leadership challenge, you think? Has Juddy decided?
I think you missed the challenge, Darcy.
He's gone past,
I think we're talking coup.
Gee whiz.
No.
I'm with you all the way, Juddy, until you start posting photos yourself with Beck on Instagram doing yoga on the floor and doing stretches. Is there an intervention needed here for the stuff that you're putting out? And it's almost gone. I mean, when you were a player, you didn't want to do any media. It's almost gone completely the other way.
I did poke my head up this morning, and after I posted it, I thought, maybe I do need to have a quick look in the mirror, because sometimes I don't recognise the man I've become, Brownie.
A bit of morning yoga, Johnny.
Just a little PT session before we tucked into our acai bowls.
Who takes those shots of you when, obviously, you and her are on the floor? So who takes the photo? Do you have someone employed?
One of the staff. What do you think?
Oscar?
Oscar. We've got the three nannies. yeah. So one of them, or if they're busy, another PT herself can take it. So a very good session this morning.
And what's the thought process about sharing that with the world?
Well, look, there's 158,000 followers. They're craving content.
It's a brand.
And someone's got to make their lives happier. And that's when I step up, Howie. So,
can we get that out with our followers, please, Damo? Is there a way we can get that on Triple M Footy?
Yeah,
I need to see that.
I haven't seen it, Brownie, so we'll have to get it out to the Triple M Footy family at some stage.
I'll get it up, I'll pass
it
around, and we'll do the right thing for you.
A lot of excitement in the Triple M box last week when it was brought up, Darce, that a wonderful moment in football, a touching moment in football back to round 8, 2015. Carlton versus Geelong, when Cam Guthrie, Damo, from the Cats, decided he wanted to swap his jumper with Chris Judd. It was an emotional moment. It was a touching moment.
I think it was Juddy's second last game.
Yeah, it was. It was
because the next week he did his knee and that was it.
It was a fine
goodbye
gesture.
As he was wheeled off.
Yep. And obviously it meant a lot to Cam. And if you missed it on last week's Friday Huddle, this is how it played out.
It's in a different area for that sort of memorabilia thing. Okay. Does. But that's
have you still got it or not?
All my ex jumpers are up in the bedroom drawer, and Cam Guthrie's jumpers in that
did
collection.
Did you ever get it out at night and put it on sometime?
Oscar read it out the other day. Was asking what it was. So a very nice moment that was by Cam Guthrie.
I would like you to bring that jumper next week. I think that'd be great.
I can do that.
So
for
we
you,
can
mate.
So we can show it.
Not a problem.
I'm not sure you've got it, Johnny.
Of course I've got it. Purple. I just said I've got it.
Okay.
So the simple question would be, where is the jumper?
No, look, I thought about this. I've got I've got the jumper in the car, but I thought, in all honesty, my integrity shouldn't be questioned on this. I've looked you all in the eyes and said I've got the jumper.
And it's currently in your car, is it?
It's in the car.
Really?
You
don't need to go down and produce it. So your word is good enough?
My word is my bond, Darcy. You know that. I mean, we're all I've done in the game and in the community. Don't forget the community work.
And for the recycling community.
Recycling and, you know, Madden Medal. And I won that, the year I won the Madden Medal, I beat Adam Goods, who was Australian of the Year. That makes me unofficially Australasian of the Year, Howie. And
it's a stretch, Chris.
And as Australasian of the Year.
Let's be honest, Jody, it wouldn't be a great reflection on you if you had to swap jumpers with a young Cam Guthrie and you might have just piffed that or sent that down to recycling.
Where's the jumper?
Now that wouldn't be a great reflection on you. Now, I'm not questioning your integrity, but
it sounds like to me. It sounds exactly like you're questioning my integrity.
Well, during the week, in a series of text messages between us all, someone questioned whether you'd bring it Friday night, and you replied, I quote, "I take personal offence that my word isn't enough." Now, your word isn't enough, Chris, basically.
We got Finisteride Nath. We got the Duke that bashed a young Robert Murphy as a kid when he's not sniffing hair. We got Howie, who's one step away from becoming a bra boy, and you look him in the eyes and saying, you won't take a reigning Madden medalist word.
No.
Now you're lashing out. I like the fact you left Purple out of that conversation.
He's the number one newsbreaker in the AFL. It's hard to find a lot of dirt on Purple. We know that.
I'm actually coming around. I reckon you might have it. I reckon you're actually now playing us. I reckon you're trying to get it into doubt ourselves here.
No, he's not. There is no way.
No, this man works in very mysterious ways, Darcy. You know
when someone lashes out, you're getting very close to the truth. I will put any amount of money that he can't produce that jumper.
Look, if the Triple M family don't believe me at my word, which I'm sure they will, I'm happy to walk down and get it out of my car.
I reckon he's got it.
They can have a crack on Twitter or Facebook.
Damo, I think he'll produce a Geelong jumper, maybe with the right number on it.
That's
very possible.
Because we know he has gone in the past this Friday series, Dust, to extraordinary lengths to produce goods for Friday night.
No doubt he's
gone to sexy land to produce a prop.
Yes.
It wouldn't take him much to go to a Rebel Sport to get a Geelong
jumper. Whether that is the real deal, we'll find out. I think you need to go and do it.
All right, well. How are you going to call this out?
I don't believe you have the jumper, Chris.
Okay. Right, so, we'll take it to the family. If the family want me to do it on Twitter, I'm happy to
Hit us up at Triple M Footy. Do you think Juddy has got Cam Guthrie's jumper? Because I know that Cam Guthrie has yours up on his wall framed and it's pride of place.
Well, the reason I asked the question in the first place, we're at the Judd Cave and we had a good look through there. There was an enormous amount of memorabilia. There was a couple of Brownlows. There was jumpers everywhere.
A couple of Brownlows.
Six All-Australians.
Six All-Australians.
Lee Matthews Award.
Hey, fair bit of me sort of photos of Juddy there.
Anything of Beck around the place.
Not a lot of shots of the kids down there.
No kids.
I thought I didn't
not
see
one teammate.
Cam Guthrie's jumper. No
one teammate.
It was very Judd. Well,
picture of Dick Pratt though, Dust, wasn't it?
It was.
I didn't see any pictures of Curry or Cuzzy or anyone from the Blues.
You got an hour and a half, Chris. Okay. Last night, we move on to the footy from last night. The Western Bulldogs, Dust, you were up there. They didn't go so well, your mob against the Swans, who came out in the first 20 minutes breathing fire.
They were very flat, the Bulldogs, and credit to the Swans, who came with a genuine plan last night, Purple. I would have to say they went out and attacked Johannesson, which worked.
Yeah.
They went after Jake Stringer before the first bounce.
Aggressive.
They knocked them off their access, the Bulldogs, and then they just beat them up around the contest as well. So I flew back this morning, happened to be on the same plane as the Bulldogs. Very flat, as you would imagine. Under Luke Beveridge, I think they've only lost two games by more than about 20 points. That's one of them. But we've seen that this year. I love the competition this year because everyone's had a flat patch. The good sides, they need to get going. Otherwise, it'll get beyond them.
I'll ask you a question, Darce. And Luke Beveridge is a master coach. To take him to a premiership, has he got too clever this year with the ruck department? Now, we see a young man last night who's going to be a very good player in English. He's only very skinny, but at this point, he's not up to it. We've seen Bontempelli in the ruck. We've seen Jong in the ruck. Has he got too clever in that department?
Well, I don't think so, Brownie, because that's been through necessity. They haven't had their ruckman. So Jordan Ruffhead wasn't available. And every time he's been available, he's played. And he wants to play two ruckmen. That's why young Tim English played.
But Ruffhead didn't ruck much last night.
Well, because Marcus Adams went down and went off the ground, so he had to play him in defence, and that left them exposed.
But the whole first half, he was still out there, Marcus Adams, pretty much.
And Ruffhead rucked the whole first half,
English rucked mainly.
Well, he's in as a second ruckman, so they shared the load. And look, he's number one draft pick for them. He's a player they see a big future, and he's been playing really well at VFL level. So Look, playing Lin Jong and you know, Josh Dunkley in the ruck's not ideal, but he's creative and he's lateral thinking. Sometimes you're going to nail that. Other times it won't always work.
Even with that, Brownie, when he first got there, he had an All-Australian ruckman in his ranks in Will Minson, and he refused to play him. It didn't affect him last year.
No.
Is it the team changes, though, Juddy, and guys that are actually having an impact on the 6-5 scoreline now? I mean, he's always been prepared to cut big-name players from the team. Is that being done too much now?
I think maybe a little bit. I think not having Tom Liberatore in that team is a huge call because he's a gun. And even the way he throws his team around, you see Marcus Bontempelli, who's arguably the best midfielder in a comp, if not the best, in the top 5 or 6, and he's just doesn't play in there as much as the other gun midfielders. He's on the wing, he's up forward, and I know it gives them some flexibility. But I think for the players, sometimes to get into a rhythm of playing in the same spot regularly, you know, I think in a way maybe Tom Liberatore got played out of form because he didn't spend enough time at the stoppages where he does his best work. So, like all these things, when you're winning, it looks like you're a genius. As soon as you're losing, blokes like us will start to question. But, yeah, I think there might be something in it, the amount of changes or the out-wide tactics he used.
Got to give full credit to Sydney, though. They were outstanding last night. They went in, as you said, Das, with a clear path. They were going to be aggressive. They were going to target players, and they did it all night. They didn't just do it in the first 5 minutes. They did it for pretty much the whole game. And the question's got to be asked. Are Sydney going to make the finals? Because there's going to be a lot of sides a bit twitchy about Sydney making, because Franklin was unbelievable last night. Again, his movement at the moment is as good as it's ever been. Parker looks like he's getting to his best. Maybe last weekend against Hawthorn was a bit of an anomaly and they're back to their best at the moment. But certainly the back half of the year, sides are going to be very twitchy coming up against Sydney.
Well, the last 5 weeks, apart from the Hawthorn game, have been really, really, really solid. And there's enough good players there for them to be good. They're introducing new players into that side as well in different areas.
Even last year they did that,
yeah,
too, didn't they?
So the core base of talent is still strong enough from a grand final side. I mean, you'd be worried if you're Kurt Tippett. They look like a better balanced side without him in it. Sam Reed, you know, if he stays fit, seems to be a better second forward option.
He's good.
Naismith was pretty good in the ruck in that role as well. So, look, if they get a roll on, they've got to win probably 8 of 11.
8 of 11. At 4 and 7 now, that's what it comes down to. And obviously 9 of 11 to pretty much lock it away. Yeah. But there is going to be a logjam, I think, isn't there, between maybe 5 down to 12. So if their percentage is okay, it's 105. So they've done no damage in losing those 7 games.
Is Buddy as good as he's ever been? I saw that last night, that first half. He's a man that makes you keep watching the telly, does.
Oh, he's just outstanding. Every time that the game is played with him in it, it's a better spectacle, no matter what. It wasn't a great spectacle last night, the game, but he lights it up. I mean, he should have kicked 6 last night easily, missed a couple of ones, hit the post twice. He's in as good a nick as he's ever been, I think.
How do you read the Kurt Tippett situation, Damo? He's been up there a while on big bucks. It hasn't quite worked.
No, it hasn't, but they have re-signed him after the initial big deal in itself, and he's obviously contracted for next year. The one thing they are, the Swans, they're loyal and they're staunch, and I would be thinking they're going to back him in and that he's still going to appeal to other clubs, but you wouldn't want to take him on at the money he's on if you're another club right now, having left the Crows at the end of 2012.
Damo, you've got a lot of good news coming our way and some interesting news about grand final entertainment, which I'm looking forward to hearing. Brownie, my son, the footballer. Erin Montagna, the wife of Joey Montagna,
looking
is
forward
joining
to catch
us.
Up there.
There is a lot to get through, so we might take a quick break, and next it is all the news. Oh, we're getting a little bit of social media feedback.
Here we are,
as
Howie.
Well.
They've launched Go Get the Jumper, Juddy. That's from Troy Daniel Wilson. If Juddy produces the jumper, Brownie must produce a receipt for that jacket. They're coming, Juddy. You have to get into that car. If Juddy produces the jumper, yeah, Brownie must do that. I believe Chris Judd would have that number, have that jumper. I've got no doubt he's a man of his word. Go down to your car, Juddy. Go and get it. So that's the
That's the a groundswell, you'd call it.
There's screens of it.
You know what? Is it in the car?
It's in the car. I've given you my word, Howie.
Producer,
right, Juddy,
there will be a Geelong jumper produced. I want it verified from Cam Guthrie. I'm not convinced. Somebody told me you had a boyfriend who looked like a girlfriend that I had in February of last year. It's not confidential, I've got potential.
Oh yes, the Killers rock in the Friday huddle. They'll be playing, from all reports, on grand final day. Massive signing. Mark Howe with you, Luke Darcy, Chris Judd, Nathan Brown, Damien Barrett. Great news, Damo. They're an entertainment package, the Killers. I think they'll do a wonderful job. But in your role as chief news reporter, you've got a little bit of news relating to other support acts possibly on the day, which interested me.
Yeah, there's moves afoot, Howie. They tried to get another act 12 years ago, your first grand final, Juddy, 2005, and they very, very nearly got this act across the line. And this is absolutely true. And you're moving ever so closely now to actually having this as the leading act for the Killers on this year's grand final.
They're playing football and the crowd falls spinning. They're playing football and my memory stays the same. Playing football.
That is, of course, Chris, your beautiful mum Lisa. So from what Damien, who's not generally a funny man, but that was delivered with a real sense of humour, that your mum is signed up alongside the Killers, Chris. Great news. Well done. Congratulations to the family.
Well, it's very exciting news, Bev. Appreciate you breaking that story here. But it's an exclusive.
The factual part of what I just did say was that they nearly did sign Lisa Engle, your mum, for the 2005 grand final.
For those
who haven't heard it, you need to tell people.
They nearly did, Purple. They went to her and offered her a role, and we discussed it as a family. and we decided that it wasn't in the family's best interest, Purple. Okay. So be interesting to see if they've come back to the table to deal.
Now, Nate Brown, you're musically minded. This is right in your hitting zone. The Killers, is that a good result?
I love
result?
The Killers. Yeah. I reckon it's a great result. I reckon
that.
Day, night, morning, I think they'll be fantastic. It's something that everybody can sing along to.
Mr. Yeah. Brightside Brownie?
Yes.
Number one.
What should give me a couple of songs they definitely need to play on grand final day.
Oh, Mr. Brightside's probably one of their best.
Human?
Very good. Very
Human?
Good. This is, we're listening to some of it now.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing it, Howie. I'm going to be looking at me like an idiot.
Okay.
Darcy's right. Is your man who sings on radio.
Yes. I'd give a bit of Mr. Brightside a run, but I think the Killers, they got a bit of talk, maybe Midnight Oil.
Oh, that'd be good. Ooh.
As well. That'd be a good lineup, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Would there be a chance, Damo, given they've locked in a world-class band now, if they had Midnight Oil, would the Twilight be off the table? Is that a possibility?
I'm pretty sure they're on record now as saying it is off the table for this year, aren't they? Didn't we have that threshed out a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, so yeah. Day grand final this year.
Yeah, I think they've left it open from there on in, okay. But although...
You'd like to see some Australian talent, though, wouldn't you?
Well, that's your mum, mate.
Got,
she's Australian.
Other than Lisa. Yeah.
in great news, Queen's birthday. They're talking a massive crowd there on Monday. Yeah. So much to look forward to. Freeze MND, which Seven Network's done a wonderful job in conjunction with Neil Danaher. Really looking forward to that. Great news for the Pies. Fazzolo named in the side, Damo.
Yeah, Nathan Buckley confirming that and just gave a little bit of a background to the build-up to the inclusion of Fazzolo, who, as we know, two Mondays ago went public with mental health issues.
I spoke to him earlier today and he's keen to go, so yeah, that's a boon for us and looking forward to that. Yeah, Faz is going to get back to resume normal planning as soon as possible, and this weekend's a good step for that.
And Callum Brown, another inclusion for the Pies in that game, which is going to excite so many Collingwood supporters, I would have thought. Son of Gavin Brown, in 30 years and about 9-10 weeks to the day since Gavin made his debut for Collingwood.
One of the great rules, isn't it, the father-son? Mm. When you get a situation like this, you saw him on the news last night with stock footage with his old man. Looks exactly like him. But for Collingwood fans going along Monday, gets an extra 5,000 there to see Brownie's son in action.
Yeah, it could. It could. And the crowd, I haven't got an official number what the AFL thinks it's going to be, but it could easily be beyond the 80,000, I feel, because there's some real interest in this game. Now, someone who's not going to be there, though, is Jesse Hogan. Melbourne Footy Club, as we know, he had the surgery for testicular cancer about 4 weeks ago. There was some hope that he might return in this game. That is not now going to happen, and it will be at least, I reckon, 2 weeks away from him playing any form of football. But Simon Goodwin, just going behind the scenes a little bit on Jesse Hogan's situation today.
Yeah, look, he's close to being back out on the track. You know, we said at the start it was going to be 4 to 8 weeks, and you know, he's not that far away, but he's got to now get some training into him. So we'll assess him week by week.
He has had a couple of issues since the operation, and when I say issues, they're not at all worrying for the people who are handling this medical matter with him, but they're just matters that have just slowed the progress and the return date down to the point where he's going to, as Simon Goodwin said, probably miss another two. And it would have to, I would think, Juddy, go back through the VFL now that he's missed so much footy. And lost condition.
Probably, just to get that match fitness up. You wouldn't think you'd need more than one game, but probably one under the belt wouldn't hurt.
Yep.
The Olympians on Monday, I believe, are going down the slide, Darce, which is a great new spin on the whole idea.
Yeah, it's great, Howie. I think the whole concept's been sensational. And you know, to hear the amount of money that's been raised by Neil, who is just an extraordinary person to be around. I was with him this week, and a lot of people have caught up with Neil and his daughter, Beck, standing next to him. And you know, there's about 10 new research drugs that have been launched on the back of the funds that have been raised. Some of them he doesn't qualify. In fact, I think all of them at the moment. But the legacy of that man, the tenacity of that guy, and it's one of the great things, you know, to be able to do that on the MCG, Olympic athletes. If you get the call up to do it, you know, we need is Juddy. It's probably about due for Juddy to go down the side,
it's
isn't
about
it?
The only thing he hasn't done. Well,
maybe a late call out to you, Juddy.
Possibly in Cam Guthrie's jumper.
Well, now we're talking. Yeah, if he can produce,
put a call into the office, I'd be only too happy to help.
He technically could have got a Guernsey this year too, couldn't he? Given there is an Australian, representing an Australian element to the people going down the slide this year. You've played for Australia. You could have...
Well, Australasian of the year and played for Australia. Yeah, I thought that would have qualified purple.
You mentioned you spent some time with Neil Danaher this week, and from the outside looking in, we only see him on camera, and you almost judge how he's tracking by his speech, because that's the obvious thing when you're listening. How is he actually going? How's he
traveling? I was surprised by just physically how good. I mean, it's not me living inside that horrible disease, and you can't imagine just you know, the trauma of what that is. But you know, he looked really well. He had great sense of humour, as he always does. I mean, he was explaining that there are fast moving versions of motor neuron disease, and they're a slower building. He appears to have the slower progressing one. He said, "You're not going to get rid of me quickly." He said, "I'm going to be around for a few more of these big freezes," which is just sensational. And I can't separate his mental toughness, his energy, and the way he's handled it with the length of time that he's got. And let's just hope that there is something that comes up and that it's the greatest fairy tale story of ever. Of all time.
Absolutely. The Hawks, I believe Luke Bruce might be a late out for the Hawks tomorrow, Damo.
That is correct, Howie. He is. So they'll be replacing him.
And further discussions with their coach. I think he did a press conference today because names had been floated about potential trades, which I think the coach was pretty keen to squash, Damo.
Yeah, he was. The specifics of it were Gunston and also Puopolo. And while he says what we're about to hear, I still think it's a bit of a watch this space. But this is Alistair Clarkson today on those two individuals.
Those guys that have played anywhere from 100 to 200 games are critical for the next wave of players for your footy club, their leadership. It's those guys that need to carry our club forward, so we'd be pretty loath to lose any of those guys. You know, it's been mooted in the press about Gunston and Puopolo and others, and they're the last guys we want seeing leaving their footy club. They're all contracted anyway, so I think it'd be highly, highly unlikely that those guys are moving away from our club.
Not at all doubting what Alistair Clarkson has said there, but when he refers to a contract being in place, we know what happened last year with contracted players in Mitchell and Lewis. And I know they're in a different age bracket and stage bracket to the two guys there, Puopolo and Gunston Brownie, but I still think everything's on the table, potentially from a Hawthorn perspective, come the end of the year.
Sounds like a little bit of doubt for mine, Brownie.
Yeah, he didn't quite... rule it out, did he? I mean, Jack Gunston would be... If I was at a footy club and I was hearing that, I'd love to get Jack Gunston to my footy club because I reckon he's a really good player. And I think he suffered with Roughhead being out a fair bit last year. I think he's a better player when he has players around him, but he's a super player. And Puopolo, again, so they can't afford to lose those two players.
A lot of discussion after Cam Guthrie gave Chris Judd his jumper a couple of years ago. Judd, he promised that he'd bring it in to prove he had it, Damo, causing a lot of interest on social media.
Yeah, Shane Sullivan, Judge Juddy with the funniest 4 minutes of the week. Barnaby Joyce, henceforth known as Infector Gadget. Miles Rose almost crashed my car driving home. 3 votes, Infector Gadget. They're loving it, Juddy.
Also got a personal text message from the former Bulldog Daniel G in Syracuse, who has smallest teeth in the world, thought you're on fire and put a little fire hashtag next to it as
I
well.
I thought you might have got a personal text message from home.
No. Christina doesn't listen.
A lot of your mates, Damo, are leaving from The Age. Further announcements today, Rowan Connolly's left, Sam Lane's left, the great Martin Flanagan's left, but our man, he's still sticking fat at the moment. Juddy, you're hanging on there at The Age?
Still there, yep. No, so enjoying that. Howie, I know you're an avid reader of the articles each week, and it's going well down there.
How did you go? You would have gone on strike with the team down there, Juddy, and made sure you stuck with all the rest of the journalists. Did you have a couple
you
of weeks
and
off?
You and Rocco and Caro.
Were you on the picket line or not?
Yeah. Oh, no.
I stuck fat with Fairfax.
Tim.
Obviously there.
Oh, no.
I mean, Judd Corp knows Juddy. What it's like to be a corporation just doing their level best in this these trying times.
If you're part of a team, you've got to go out.
I was part of a team. The team with Fairfax.
In fact, you've taken most of their money.
You choose management or you choose the proletariat, don't you, Howie, sometimes?
Well, I think the term is scab is the actual term.
Not familiar with that term. And I think that's a little bit hurtful.
Damo, other news floating around the world of AFL. Alan Richardson not too far away from joining us. In fact, Alan is on the boundary now thanks to Holman Industries. G'day, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, guys.
Hey, Richo, it gets to an interesting time of the year now, doesn't it, where your opportunity to play finals, these games become really critical, and a big win at the Adelaide Oval against a high-quality side. It's a big prize for you if you can have a good night tonight.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Darcy. Yeah, it's an incredibly even competition. We find ourselves at 5-5 after the bye, and you know, if we're good enough, those opportunities, you know, with respect to playing finals, will happen. But the reality is, we've got to get our footy right, and there's been some areas that haven't been good. There's been some areas that have been really positive, and that's been the focus in the break to make sure we get it right. And we're going to have to be at our best to, you know, to get that done tonight against a really good outfit.
Richo, we saw Melbourne go over there and have a great win against Adelaide Crows, one of their best in a number of years. And sides are putting a bit of time into the Crows, and specifically Rory Sloane, and a lot of work around stopping their run off half back. Have you taken some lessons out of that method and the way you're going to go about it tonight?
Oh, yeah, you always do, Darcy. Yeah, you're trying to play your way and take away what are the opposition's, you know, real weapons. And, you know, we think they've got some real firepower up the front half, and part of the plan to stop that is to, you know, stop the quality of ball, whether that comes from stoppage or off halfback. And so, yeah, that'll certainly be a focus. We want to make sure that the ball going in gives our defenders a chance to support each other, and that can't happen if it's clean. So, you know, we'll do whatever we can to limit that.
Richo, you guys are verging on becoming a finals team. There's probably still a gap between you guys and the top four teams. Whereabouts in your team do you see that gap being?
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment, Juddy. We our rebound from the back to the front is heading the right way. We're just not finishing off our work. So, you know, bang for buck has been a real challenge for us, and we'd hope that we'll be a little bit better tonight, given the way we'll structure up in front of the ball. Brucey will come back in, give us a bit more, you know, energy and life and contest in the air. Nathan Wright's probably a bit more of a defensive forward, but was really positive against the Giants with similar running defenders that we had to control. So we see that as an area to improve. Our contest and clearance has been positive in terms of numbers, but numbers are one thing, and quality is the other. So we're trying to be a little bit better in terms of the quality we get from our contest work. And you know, this is the first opportunity since we've had the break to be able to look at all that. And so, you know, hopefully we're better in those two areas.
When I look at your mids, I think they're a really even group and playing well, and they win their own ball and tackle hard. Are you sort of lacking a midfield star, or do you think that's oversimplifying it and the group that you've currently got?
I reckon there's a bit of both in that, Juddy. I think there's some young guys in that group. Seb Ross is now at close to 70 games and is really heading the right way. Jack Stevens, is a terrific player. We think Steele, who's, you know, he's only played a handful of games really in terms of full midfield play, given that he was really a forward up at GWS. So we think he's heading the right way. Nunes is going the right way on the wing. We think we need to complement that group with some others. David Armitage hasn't played. We think that he certainly makes us a better team. Luke Dunstan finds himself out of the team, but he's a good young inside mid that is heading the right way. So we think we've got a good group. But we're certainly going to be looking to help that group. But for now, we make no excuses. We think we can match it with good teams in there.
Richo, the perception is you're a very highly skilled young footy side, and at your best against GWS, you're elite with your kicking. But when the heats come up last couple of weeks, your skills have gone wanting a little bit. Is that more from the pressure, or is that a decision-making process? Are you a good skilled football side?
Yeah, we are, Brownie. We're a good team when we go at the goals. What we found on the back of our reasonable footy, so at 5-3, rebounding really positively, and getting opportunities against good teams, you know, the opposition went to us, and that's what happens when you go from a team that people don't really care about too much to a team that you need to put a bit of work into. We just felt that the opposition dried us up a bit, and we went sideways then, Brownie. So pretty simple, 14 possessions per goal up until 2 weeks ago, or two performances ago, to 24 possessions. We became a little bit indirect and ended up being a bit too slow and conservative. So we want to go at the game a bit quicker, and then we're more effective. I don't know whether you call that more skillful, but we'll be more effective.
In the context of what you've just said there, Alan, that the 5-3 scoreline becoming a 5-5-1 going into the break, did the break therefore come for you at a good time?
Yeah, no, I reckon it did, Damo. You don't like losing and then having a break.
Yeah.
You know, and you much rather go into the break feeling good about your footy. You know, the Bulldogs beat us and went into a break, and you know, things can change pretty quickly, as we saw. But
has it allowed you to reset a little bit that you wouldn't have been able to do had you had a game the next week?
Yeah, I reckon everyone's on edge a bit more. I think this isn't working. We've kept playing pretty good footy. The opposition have come after us a little bit. We had the Carlton game that we were quite aggressive, and then the two we probably got hunted a bit more after that. So, you know, we said before to Brandy, we become a bit slow and conservative from the back. So yeah, it has been an opportunity to have a look at what works for us, what doesn't work for us, what are the opposition trying to do, and you throw all that in the mix, and it's been a good time to work through that.
Hey, Rich, I'm going to let you go very shortly. I just want to ask, I haven't spoken to you about, you went away to India at the end of last year. You took yourself away and you learned some meditation about trying to be a bit calmer in the box, I read in the off-season. Has that been beneficial for you?
Yeah, look, it wasn't just about the box. It was just about, you know, when you're a senior coach, you can at times feel like you've got a grey cloud running around in your head. There's so much going on, but with regards to the box specifically, you do rely on the experts, you know, your midfield, your forward line, your backline coaches. And there were times last year when I reckon I wasn't at my best, probably let the emotion of the what was happening out in the field cloud being able to take in that information. And so, yeah, no, it was good. It was. I'm not sure whether I'm any better at it, but it was certainly a good experience.
Hey, thanks for your time, Richo. Good luck. Big night for you and the Saints tonight.
Good on you guys.
Alan Richardson, the coach of the St Kilda Football Club. And it is a big night for them. Big challenge over there in Adelaide. And we'll see if they can do it shortly.
Big night for Juddy too with this jumper, because there's a lot of talk around that you don't have Cam Guthrie's jumper that
he
handed
jumper.
You.
I've clearly got the jumper.
Well, mate, you've been banging on about it for an hour. It's now or never. You need to produce the jumper.
Do you want me to go to the car and get the jumper?
Oh, you've got it in the car, have you?
Duke is captain. You want me to go?
I want you to go down and get the jumper. Right. Is there a way of verifying if you come back with a jumper that's not Cam Guthrie's?
There's going to be a time and point when you gentlemen say, I'm sorry, Judge, you were right. We shouldn't have pushed you. I think that point is fast approaching.
I'm with you, Juddy, remember. I'm believing you.
I'm not. I think you're lying.
I think
through
he's bluffing
your beautiful
like no one
white
has ever
straight
bluffed.
Teeth.
No, what? Cam Guthrie's
he's out.
Listening.
He's out.
He's on
oh,
his way down
there,
to the car.
The judge is headed off. So Cam Guthrie's following this on Twitter at the moment. He believes Juddy does have the
could
jumper.
Could you imagine the slap in the face that would be to Cam Guthrie if he produces a fake jumper, if he can't find it? It'd probably be devastating.
I've got no doubt it'll be a fake jumper.
Big story developing here. If you didn't follow it, Chris Judd had a jumper swap in round 8 2015 with Cam Guthrie. It was discussed last week that Cam's got the jumper up at home, one of his pride of place at hall at home in the pool room. We doubted whether Juddy actually had the jumper. He's headed across the road.
I can actually see him out the window here on Clarendon Street, South Melbourne. I think we might have sent Rosie down Facebooking live. And Juddy, you're down there at the boot. There's a bit of
I'm
a crowd
down there.
Gathering
you really want me? You really want me to do this?
Yeah, we do.
Just saying hi to the kids. Keep listening.
Kids in the car, I hate you. So he's popped the boot. He's got a jumper in hand.
Is it Geelong?
It's a Geelong jumper.
It's not, is it?
It's got the right number on the back of it. There's no doubt that looks suspicious.
You need me to bring it up? Or
yeah,
is it
no, that's no, going to come up.
Yeah, bring it up.
That is as bring brand, it up. That's all as right, brand new up. A jumper as I've ever seen from this distance. Albeit it's dark. He's on Clarendon Street. How do we find him on Facebook Live? You can jump down and see Juddy making his way across Clarendon Street. He's pretty happy with himself.
He's got the jumper in hand. Good on you, Judge. He's on the way up here.
Just making his way back up, Juddy. He's pulled a jumper out of his boot. I'm still not convinced that he hasn't gone and bought one and replicated. Well, here he comes now.
He's wearing it.
He's got it on.
No.
Now, he wasn't good enough to wear it on the day that they were trying. Oh, look at him.
Well, Judge. Wearing Cam Guthrie's jumper and a tight fit.
Struck a little
too.
Bit, tight fit. Yeah.
I reckon it's it.
Can we check logos, sponsors, branding? We need to scan our mind back a couple
of years.
It's
a very good point. The phone call could have been made to Cam this week.
I'll tell you how you do know it. You know because of the GPS placed in the back, which you will not find at your Rebel Sport or elsewhere. We eventually managed to pry this bad boy off me. We'll be able to check that GPS unit at the back.
How long did it take to put her on, Juddy?
No, I reckon it's
right.
It.
I think we are going to have to probably apologise, Juddy. I think
it's very clean.
We did
say anything I'd say. It looks very clean.
I mean,
you gave it a wash.
It'd been running around for 2 hours. I'm not going to let that fester in my. Well, someone
the help.
It got washed.
Any danger?
I managed that process.
Framing that one up and maybe putting that moment up in the Judd cave.
You know, look, it's very possible, Duke. Yeah, it's
because Juddy, that was the last full game of football football you played, wasn't it?
It was a special night.
Because the next week you were wheeled
I'm
off.
I'm aware what happened next week.
No, I'm just reminding our listeners, Juddy, that that was the last of the great Chris Judge by way of completing a game of football.
As we did note in the Judd Cave, there was a lot of photos that didn't involve anyone else. A lot of Juddy only.
Me.
I would have thought maybe you and Cam side by side, jumpers framed. Would be a good look in the Judd Cave.
I like it.
I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't think you had it. I was wrong.
You've also flattened Brownie too. He has not.
No. Both been the same at all. I am fine.
Look at him. Taking the wind right out of Brownie, it's fair to say.
People like Judge Juddy, but for mine, this is my favourite segment when one of the beautiful partners of the footballers come in. And we are very, very lucky to have Erin Montagna, the wife of Lee, who is getting set to play over in Adelaide at the moment. Erin, thank you so much for coming in. You look wonderful. How are you going?
Thanks for having me. I'm going well. How are you?
What is game night like for you? It's a Friday night. The fella's away. Do you watch it with some mates or how does the game unfold?
Oh, look, it's very low key. At the moment, I'm just here with a couple of friends and we'll just watch it at home.
Do you like the footy or do you just watch it because Joey's playing?
I'd be lying if I said I like the football. I'm not really a footy fan. I wish I was, but no, unfortunately I'm not.
So when Joey comes home and runs down, oh, this happened at training and that, you're just no interest. You just don't want to know about it.
Oh, look, I'm interested in this day, but I just have no idea about it. So I'm terrible. I'm actually the worst wife. I don't go to the games. I prefer to watch it at home. And usually I'll ring a friend and say, oh, how did Lee go today? And they'll go, oh, he had...
I love this honesty, Darcy. This is what we get in this segment.
The first time I met you, we were over at Nick Riewoldt's wedding, which is over in Texas, which was a massive ranch. Mm-hmm. I reckon they would have spent close to $250,000 on this wedding. It was unbelievable. But I know that your wedding was not long after that, so you would have obviously seen that wedding. Did Joey feel any pressure to maybe just dig a little bit deeper into his pocket for your wedding? Because I know that it didn't all go to plan.
Oh, look, we actually couldn't compete with that wedding, could we? Let's be honest. And our wedding venue burnt down the week before. So that was, not a great thing.
That was the Stoke House.
It was this beautiful Stoke House. So
tell us what that's like.
Do they ring you or do you just see it on the news with your wedding venue going up?
I actually was another wedding when I found out and I could see Lee on the phone and he was going, no, I can't tell her. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm saying, what can't you tell me? And he's like, we'll talk about it in the morning. And then he goes, there's a fire at the Stoke House. And I don't even think I had time to get upset about it. It was just kind of like it's a week from here. And so we found another venue and we changed the whole structure of the day and we ended up getting married at the Royal Melbourne Yacht Squadron. And it was beautiful.
Nice. Now,
we're joined by Erin Montagna, the much better half of Joey Montagna, universally known as Joey. You introduced him as Lee before. I had to almost wonder who we're talking about. Now, we get to catch up with him regularly on the hot breakfast in the morning, and he's always got something happening. There's always something strange happening in his life. Talk us through the moment that he called the snake handler in about 6 months ago. Erin, can you run us through that story?
Do you know what? I kind of thought you'd bring this up. I came home from work, and there was a snakeskin sandal on the kitchen bench. And I was like, oh, what is this? And he was like, I found it in the back alleyway. And I called out a snake handler. I was like, what? It was no surprise to me because Lee, he has so many wonderful qualities. But I think his biggest downfall is he's not a handyman. He'll call out. I have to call out hire a hubby all the time. And so it was no surprise to me that this snake handler came out and charged him like $150.
So Joey's seen what looked like a snake because of the pattern of the in the garden. He's got it cornered in the garden. He's like, I'm in imminent danger here. Come calls on. The snake handler out. Who then rips out his thong out of your backyard.
Hire a hubby. So he has no skills. If the door's not working or the lawn needs to be mowed, Joey's not the man.
No. My mum has to come around and show him how it's done. I don't know if that's adorable because they kind of bond, but it's also embarrassing.
In fairness, though, you don't ask hire a hubby to get kicks on the MCG, do you?
No, maybe that's exactly right, Chris.
They
don't.
They shouldn't ask him to do those sort of...
True. Very true.
Detailed work.
Hey, Erin, how's he gone in recent years with his best mates? Either retiring or moving to other clubs. Nicky Dell, Brendan Goddard, Milne, Baker. There's been a few that have left him and he's left with Nick only, Nick Riewoldt. How's he gone with the exits of the great mates?
Oh, look, I think it's been tough for him. I think, you know, sometimes he'll say to me, I don't really have any friends left at the club. And, it's been tough. But, I think he understands that that's part of a footy career and it's just kind of what happens.
Has he tried to corrupt a new crew, some of the younger guys?
Or? Oh, he tries to get in there, but they just won't let him. He's too old. They don't get him. He doesn't get invited to the pub and he's shattered. And I'm like, well.
You've obviously seen him too. He's had an outstanding career, but obviously he's at a stage now where he doesn't know. The club doesn't know what lies ahead. How is that on those moments when you do discuss football and you do discuss the future? Does he involve you in that unknown? Does he involve you in wanting to know what you want him to do?
Yeah, look, we talk about that quite a bit. Probably I bring it up more than he does just because I'm a bit of a control freak and I want to know what's going on.
Do you want him to go on?
She doesn't like footy, Damo.
Yeah.
Enough.
I'd love for him to go on because he would love to go on. But obviously the unknown is sort of a scary thing. And he's not quite sure if he will, you know, go on next year. Hopefully he does. If he doesn't, I'm sure, you know, he'll...
You slot into this studio pretty handily.
Yeah. And he's joining us on the Sunday Rub this Sunday, Lee Monte. I'm surprised the younger blokes at St Kilda don't embrace Joey at the pub because he's done some amazing things at the pub in his time, Juddy.
They should have. Well, there is a couple of very short young players there. we know he's had an issue with the short people in the past, Aaron.
But he's one of them. So.
Aaron,
let's get into the things around the home. Where do you stand on Joey passing wind? Because I don't do that in front of my wife. I know that Darce had an issue with it many years ago, and now just let them rip wherever. Jeez, no, I mean, where do you stand on that with a male?
Oh, it's gross.
Disgusting.
But yeah, it doesn't hold him back. He just
lets him rip.
Yeah, I think he's pretty comfortable in front of me.
Darce was talking earlier on about their celebrity leave pass that him and Beck have made agreements on. I think yours was Beyonce, wasn't it, Darce?
No, it was Giselle, actually.
Giselle.
Oh, Giselle.
Have you and Joey come up with an agreement there who are you eyeing off?
I think he's got like about 50. And, so I'm in trouble.
Of course he is.
And I think like ones from like Beck from the Footy Show. I'm in trouble. He's got a few, but they're all beautiful women. So
and yours?
Mine's Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. It's a little bit unrealistic, but yeah.
I always thought the key to a celebrity leave pass was to aim very low. You know, because then you're half a chance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
If you were going to go down that path, how?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work with an old school friend, Jake. It sort of defeats the point of all that. Now, from my memory, he's been out the field with Joey. He was pretty good on the sledge out in the ground. Doesn't mind having a bit of verbal. Has he ever come back and said, geez, I crossed the line out there? Because he doesn't mind dishing it out, the little champ.
Not that I can think of. No, he hasn't come out and said, I just gave it to this guy.
He copped a bit of flack the other week because he stood and held the ball in the goal square and people piled into him and said it was an act of arrogance. He wasn't that happy with that one, was he?
No, he takes it to heart. I think people think footballers are just so resilient and that it doesn't affect them, but it actually does. He was shattered. He was, you know, he was like, I wasn't trying to be a cheater or anything like that. So I think, he was just sort of...
Milking the clock a bit, wasn't it?
Exactly
it worked out.
The love story, you talked about where you got married. I always like to know where couples meet. Where did you first meet the dashing Lee?
Oh, look, I wish it was a more romantic story, but we actually just met down at the waterside on Kingsway.
My pub?
Yeah, is it your local?
Yes. He's got a share in that.
Is your pub. Yes, okay.
Another couple I brought together.
Do you approach him or he does approach you? How did it happen?
Actually, his friend came up and I was like, I actually can't understand this guy. He was really drunk and he was Irish, so it was Con Begley. And I said to him, just stay there for a minute. My friend loves Irish guys. And I went and got my friend and I set them up and I thought, oh my God, I've only come with one friend. Now I'm here at this pub on my own. So I was standing at the bar and he walked over and started chatting. So that's kind of
how it all went. And was he a smooth style chatter or how did he go?
Oh, look, he was lovely. We had a great chat. I wish he'd kind of told me the truth. But he told me he was from Queensland and that he was a marine biologist and all this stuff.
A marine biologist?
Yeah, yeah.
Straight out of the George Costanza.
I didn't know. Into the eye of the great fish.
Yeah. I think he had a really good laugh about that and I was just this idiot standing there at the pub going, cool. And then at the end of the night when I said, I'll add you on Facebook, what's your name? And he told a lie about his name, so he had to come clean. So that's how that all unfolded.
Marine biologist, Erin, we really appreciate you coming in and having a chat with us. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you.
For the
Thanks
3 minutes that you watch it.
Yeah.
Hey, the great Mark Ricciuto has been listening in on this conversation over there in Adelaide. It's been an extraordinary preview, Rashid, hasn't it? I can see you're just wanting to get in on this conversation. Rashid, have you got something for Erin before we go?
Listen, he's not the only bloke that's told a lie at the bar.
Erin, we really, really appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate you guys having me.
And we can play a bit of this back to Joey on Sunday on the Sunday Rub.
I'm sure he'll love it.
Good on you, Erin. We really appreciate your time. We mentioned the big Roo. He's over there in Adelaide to preview this game for us. Really important game, Roo. How's conditions looking over there, firstly?
Oh, absolutely perfect. No rain around. A calm night, no wind, and maybe a little bit of dew on the grass, but absolutely perfect for footy, boys.
Have sides worked your team out, Rashid? They're going to work on the midfield. They're putting a fair bit of time into half back, and it seems as though there needs to be a bit of a second game plan for the Crows. Is that a bit of an unfair call?
No, there's a bit of a blueprint there that against North Melbourne, and again last week. So the pressure's on the Crows to adapt to that, Darce, and try and fight through it and work through it like any side up the top of the ladder. Sides are going to watch them closer and closer and try and work out their weak spot, and the Crows need to be a bit tougher in the midfield at the moment.
And, Roo, the 20-year reunion of your first grand final win, Premiership 1997 against St Kilda. You're playing St Kilda tonight. Who's going to get the 3-2-1 at the reunion tonight?
Well, Darren Jarman would be definitely on the podium. One of your old teammates, Kane Johnson, who tries to be someone he's not these days.
Depends what state of mind he's in.
Like most bad drunks, they try and change their life and make out their past. But I'm sure he's still got a good performance in him. And if Peter Vardy happens to rock in like Nathan Ablett did at Geelong a couple of weeks ago and surprise everyone, he'll blow everyone out the water. There's no doubt about that.
That will be a big night, Richard. Now, a lot of people might remember you actually had surgery that year, didn't you, and missed the 97... grand final. You'll swing by though, won't you, mate, as the mayor of Adelaide, and join the crew afterwards?
They are having it at my pub tomorrow, so I think I'll be there just making sure everything goes right.
You did it all again next year too, Ruth.
Yes, yeah, no.
Do it properly.
That's right. No, we were lucky to win two in a row, and it was a great year after missing out, so we'll have a bit of fun next year for sure.
And Ruth, if you're Don Pike, would you almost be hoping that Rory Sloane has a quiet game and the team wins? Do you think at the minute opposition sides feel the team's too reliant on Rory, and it'd be good to see some other guys step up?
Yeah, I'm not a believer if you shut Sloane out, the Crows lose. I think that's a bit simplistic, but at the moment, it's definitely corresponded with those losses. So I think that would be a good result in some ways. I'm sure Rory won't want that, but I think the other players need to stand up and spread the load a bit more through the midfield. And Matt Crouch has had a great year, but Brad Crouch has been getting the ball but hasn't been as damaging. But there's a host of midfielders, whether it's Riley Knight, who's been in and out, Atkins, Cameron, Miller, those sort of guys just need to get a little bit more consistent, Juddy, so that they can share the load.
Just on the Sloane issue that Juddy raised there, Roo, have you personally had a chat to him about the scrutiny and the attention that he's now probably going to have for the remainder of his life in footy?
Yeah, I have had a chat to him, and look, that's just a part of any decent midfielder's progression, and because they haven't been tagged much in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, really, it's probably been delayed for Rory, but you know, most good midfielders, whether it's Andrew McLeod when I was playing, was tagged every week, or Juddy was, or, you know, some blokes get tagged every few weeks. It's just it separates the A graders from the B graders, I guess, and he's got to go through it at the moment.
And I know you won't want to reveal the absolute confidentiality of that conversation, but is there a generic way of telling us what you said to him?
Oh, listen, it's pretty simple. You can't let them affect your game too much, and your standard of what you're expecting when you've got a tagger or haven't got a tagger is just two different things. He's got to stay as a strong leader, whether he's having 30 disposals or 18. He's got to continue to try and not get affected by it mentally and physically. You know, you can't be trying to fight and scrag and give away free kicks, and you know, it might mean that he'll have to go to a different player or play a slightly different role. But you don't want to change your game too much. So he'll work through it.
Roo, I was watching on the webcam when Judge Juddy was in full swing. How are you enjoying that little segment?
It's trending in South Australia at the moment, Judge Juddy. But, Brownie, your past was always going to come back. It was always going to come back.
He's a bit flat, Roo, tonight, Roo.
You think you're going to get away with what you got up to, mate.
Hey, Roo, just before we let you go there, who are you calling the game with on Triple M Footy tonight?
I got Chris Dittmar and Dale Lewis calling the game, and I'm sitting next to the great Warren Treadrow, the Port Adelaide Premiership captain. So we'll have everything covered over here in SA, boys.
Did he survive from that fire extinguisher yet? Treadrow, he's still sooking about it.
He's still sooking. Here he comes now.
Good on you, Roo. We look forward to the call in a few moments' time.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
Rusciutto from the Adelaide Oval for Kotai. This is the Triple M Footy Preview. Kotai, the right gear when you need. It's been a tough night, hasn't it, Nate?
It hasn't been a tough night. I'm on the TV right now.
Now, we need to get tips before we go to the Adelaide Oval. Damo, you're still to get a tip on the board. Das 2, Juddy 2, Brownie 2, Howie 1, Hodgie 1, Damo 0. So, unfortunately, that means you have to tip first again.
Adelaide 41.
Adelaide 41, Judge?
Adelaide 12.
A Brownie?
Oh, it's a close one. 57 Adelaide.
57 for Scratchy. And
35 for the Adelaide Crows.
I'll go 34 for the Adelaide Crows. Boys, that is it. Very nicely
That's
done.
Quick.
Everyone have a lovely, safe, wonderful, long weekend. Stick around, though, because the boys are going to absolutely tear it up at the Adelaide Oval.
Get up,
Coach
Brownie.
Hire.
Get up, Brownie.
This is the Triple M Footy Preview. Maybe she wasn't listening, Nath. Can't leave the site. Coach Hires deliver. Call 13 15 52. Have a wonderful, long weekend for McDonald's. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.